And actually, the Lord gave you a message this morning. You were sharing with us before. The Lord gave you a message about there is a conspiracy by the prophets.
Amen.
What is about? Because I didn't hear this message yet.
It's a message the Lord gave me this morning. It's called "There is a conspiracy by the prophets."
What does it mean?
It means that the prophets of Israel, the prophets of Christianity, what's Israel is Christianity of today. Modern Israel, modern-day Israel, like Christian Israel, it's us. There is a carnal Israel, circumcision of the flesh, the people of God of yesterday and not of today. And then there is the people of God of today, spiritual Israel, which is the body of Christ. Well, in the body of Christ, the world Christianity in the West, I'm talking about, because when the Christians are persecuted in the third world, in the Muslim country, they are okay. They are dying for Jesus. They're being persecuted in China, everywhere, the true Christians, they're doing fine. But it's in the West that the Christianity has become like dead, 99%. Well, among this Western Christianity, there is a conspiracy.
What kind of conspiracy?
Well, the Lord gave me a chapter in the Bible. It was Ezekiel 22:25.
Okay.
It's a conspiracy which already happened before, in the days of Ezekiel. He was prisoner in Babylon.
Yes.
You got that? Ezekiel 22:25.
Yes. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst.
Okay. So here God is telling Ezekiel there is a conspiracy of a prophets of Israel in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion. I mean, imagine the prophets of Israel, they were having a conspiracy.
What kind? What do you mean?
You know, conspiracy is like when you are conspire, when you plot, when you betray the government.
Against God?
No, I'm talking about politically now. Mm-hmm. Like there was a conspiracy in Ukraine, and they overtook the pro-Russian president, and now there is a pro-America president. Like in Libya, it was a conspiracy, a plot against Gaddafi, and they killed him. Like in Syria, it was all organized by the CIA, of course. In Syria, it was a conspiracy against Assad, the king of Syria. They tried to topple him, but then Russia stepped in, and they're still defending him, and also Iran. And the guy is still in power. There is no way the America is able to change the government. Because, you see, when Russia supports the Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine, then America complains, oh, you're interfering with the authority of the country. But when American CIA support the plot against the king of Syria, against Gaddafi of Libya, then that's okay, because they are democracy, they drink Coca-Cola, so of course it must be okay. So, of course, I'm not on the side of America or Russia. I think they're all... politics is all the same. Conspiracy is like a plot. So amazingly, how almost all churches are off the track. It's definitely a conspiracy by the devil that has infiltrated them with false doctrine. Read verse 26.
A conspiracy by the devil. Wow.
Yeah, the devil makes a conspiracy with the help of the prophets, with the help of the pastors. Of course, those that they are ignorant and they don't know what they're doing. But the devil has deceived them, understand?
Yeah.
Like they believe in pre-tribulation rapture. They believe you can lose salvation. They believe and they teach and they train the congregation to sit down, sing, pray as much as you want, but don't get up from the bench. Don't go on the street like Jesus and reach the lost. No.
Yeah.
Paralyzed in shackles. In those church benches are like shackles, imprison the body of Christ worldwide. Mm-hmm. Look, verse 26, I can read it to you. It says, her priests have violated my law.
Wow.
Okay, so God is saying Israel priests have violated the law of God. See, the going to the church building has become the idol. Okay, going to church has become the idol.
Yes.
The going, the walking to church, sit down in the pews, has become the idol that has taken the place of obeying the gospel.
Yes, it's true.
You think that you did your duty and that's it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the sitting in church has substituted taking the place of preaching the gospel and reaching lost souls. In other words, the church building, the Sunday morning, has become an idol. That's why God in the Old Testament promised to destroy the temple. Jesus confirmed it, and eventually the Romans fulfilled it and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, because they were worshiping the temple, the stones of the temple, sacred holy place, instead of the Holy Spirit that was in the temple.
Yes.
See, it's just like you go to a church where they have statues of Holy Mary, Jesus, God, there are statues of all kinds. And you don't know anymore, they're worshiping the representation of the statue that represents Jesus, or they're worshiping the marble.
Hmm.
That's why God hates this kind of statues, this kind of stuff. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, don't make an image, not of God, not of angels, not of things in heaven, not of things on the earth, not of things in the sea, not of things under the earth.
Because they take the place of God.
Exactly, like the statue of God will take the place of God.
Amazing, yeah.
So the religion of God takes the place of God. See, the Christian religion is taking the place of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, going to church is taking the place than going to Jesus. Instead of going to Jesus, they go to church. Instead of reaching the lost, they go sit down and talk about it, and preach about it, and teach about it. Okay? Look, I'll continue Ezekiel 22:26. You want to finish finish the scripture? Or you can read the whole thing.
Okay. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them.
Understand what he's saying?
Wow.
So it's like they are profane the holy things. They make no difference between the holy and the profane.
It's true.
See, the church are full of worldliness. That's what it means. So you go in the churches today, the people don't even understand that the Antichrist is coming.
So it's a mixture, basically, between the world and Christ.
Yeah. See, it's like they have become so so one, so mixed, church and world. The same people that they sit in church Sunday morning with a nice tie, ironed suit, black suit, yelling hallelujah. During the week, they are mixed with the devil's children. You cannot tell the difference.
Amazing, it's true.
You work in an office, they're blaspheming God. The Christians are nowhere to be heard. You can hear the homosexual, you can hear all kinds of blasphemy, but the Christian, they're ashamed of Christ. So basically, 99% of Christianity today become dead.
In fact, we receive messages from brethren who are desperate because their children are so contaminated by the world. But they don't realize that sending their children 5 days in a non-godly school where they learn all the bad behavior, bad words, where God is not allowed to be mentioned, cannot compare with 1 hour of Sunday class where they hear about God and they try to eliminate all the 5 days' wrong teachings. It's just wrong balance.
No, but you see, I was watching some videos, some Christian videos. They say that in America, they are taking away the word of Christ and God. So they have prayers. There was a school that in front of the school, there was God bless this place. And so they said, dude, that offends my atheistic ideology, so they have to take it off. They are changing everything. And the Muslims are requiring that they take away anything that talks about Christ, because offense at the Islamic religion. So basically, but the point, it doesn't surprise me that the Muslim want that. It doesn't make me upset against the Muslim. I love them. I want to evangelize and convert them. What makes me a little upset is the incredible betrayals of the Christians against God.
It's true.
I mean, it's like they're saying children to kindergarten. Kindergarten, they already teach about the lesbianism and homosexuality, that they can have two fathers, two mothers, this and that. And it's like, and the Christians, where are they?
It's true.
I mean, you should stop paying taxes. You should stop sending them to school. The Christians should get together by the thousands, by the 10,000, say, sorry, we don't go to school anymore because we're not homosexuals. We respect the homosexual. If you guys want to be gay, you can. Fine, it's your problem. It's according to your, but we are not.
Yes.
And if a gay is offended that somebody talks about Jesus in a school, well, I'm a Christian, I'm offended if you talk about gay in a school. So, here you have kindergarten where it's forbidden to talk about Jesus, but then you talk about gay. Just a second. Christ offends you, then homosexuality offends me too. So you want to have a right not to hear Christ? I want to have a right not to hear about homosexuality.
Amen.
So, but the Christians are so dead. so dead. In fact, they are just about buried. You know, they, you know, really, Christianity used to be dead, and now it's buried. Okay, now you're here
in the West.
In the West, we are here. I mean, the third world is much better. Okay. Okay, in 2027.
Well, you know, Brother Joseph, they say that they are tolerant. They have to tolerate the Muslims, the homosexuals, because we need to be loving and we need to win them to Jesus. They don't know they have to hate evil and stand up for what's right.
At least if they would win them to Jesus, though. Yeah, they
no,
don't even do that.
No, no hate the Muslims. I mean, no hate, any, not so much show our hate, but show our faith in Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Show
evangelize.
Our faith in the Bible. And that's why God is not the devil, but it's God who is allowing Antichrist to come up. Because in 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about the Holy Spirit that is withholding evil, withholding the son of sin, Antichrist, until he be taken out of the way. So it's God that takes the Holy Spirit out of the way so the Antichrist can come and destroy the church. Mm-hmm. If you read in Ezekiel 38, 1 to 8, it shows that is God will put hooks in the beast, the Antichrist, Gog, in his jaws and pull it into Israel. And in Ezekiel 39, toward the end, it says, then the people will know that the house of Israel went into captivity because of her sins.
Yeah.
So all these things is going to happen. Israel invaded by the Gog and Magog and the Muslim. The women shall be raped, Zechariah 14. It will happen, not because the devil is powerful, he's not. Not because the Antichrist decided he cannot. In fact, the Antichrist knows that once he gets into Israel, Armageddon is coming, he doesn't want to go. Mm-hmm. So God is going to put hooks in his jaws and pull him there, drag him there. Some kind of political hooks that he will be compelled to invade Israel. He doesn't want to, because he knows after that is the lake of fire. Revelation 18:20. So it's God that sends purposely. God purposely sends, brings, pushes the Antichrist to invade Israel, and they sent to destroy the Christian churches.
And
you understand? It was God that destroyed Israel through the Babylonians. He killed them. They were destroyed. It was God who allowed the Romans to destroy Israel and crucify them, and because of their disobedience to God. It is God who will send the Antichrist to destroy the churches. It is God. Because the church, God is tired that after all these years, still the Christians don't obey. So God is punishing them.
So you're saying all this is because of the sins?
Yes, because of the sins. Because of the sins of the church. Okay, read verse 27.
Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken.
You understand, today there are pastors, false pastors in many churches who say, this is God's will, this is, we are God's people, and this is God's church, and blah, blah. But God is not saying
amazing.
That stuff.
God when is the Lord saying, has not spoken.
God is saying, no, the Christians today are off the track. No, the churches have betrayed me. No, the churches are into idolatry. They're worshiping the idols of the world. And I will destroy them. That's why I'm sending the Antichrist. Okay.
It's difficult to think that God is sending the Antichrist. But you explained very clearly that they bring it actually upon themselves because of their disobediences, their sins, just like it happened through the whole history of Israel.
Exactly. It seems like it's impossible, but that's what's happening. Okay, so do you want to read, let me see, 29 then, 29 and 30.
The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.
Wow. Read also Ezekiel, the scripture I gave you before, 39, 23 and 24.
Ezekiel 39.
See, 23 and 24.
And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies.
See, I hid my face from them. Keep reading.
So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them.
You understand what he's saying?
Yes.
Saying that The Gentiles shall know the nation that the house of Israel went into captivity because of their iniquity. Mm-hmm. So they've been into captivity for 2,000 years, persecuted by the Catholic, by the Nazi, by just about today by the Muslim. It's because they don't have the blessing of God. And the same thing is happening to the spiritual Israel, the Christians. They've been persecuted everywhere. The same way the Muslims been persecuted the Jews, now they're persecuting the Christians. Only that Israel is advantage now because God started the new nations and they can defend themselves with weapons. But the Christian, they can't even do that.
Yeah.
Back to Ezekiel 22:30. Can you read that again?
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.
I found not. This is some of the saddest words in the Bible.
Really?
God looked for a man to stand in the gap. You see, Jesus on the Calvary stood in the gap.
In what sense, stand in the gap? What does it mean spiritually?
Like, you know what the gap is. It's like you have an edge and it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And people can go in.
In other words, spiritually?
Well, around our house, there's a fence, right?
Yes.
Our house, a fence with gate. Okay, at night, it keeps out the thieves. I mean, the normal little thieves.
Yeah.
And he does a very good job. Nobody has jumped the fence yet. So if there is a gap, people can go in and out. So around Israel, there was a spiritual edge.
Angels,
spiritual edge.
A fence.
Angels protecting Israel. But because of the sins, slowly, there were gaps forming around. And the angel couldn't protect Israel anymore because they were worshipping idols.
I understand.
So he was looking for a man to stand in the gap. You know, so that the devil wouldn't get in. But he couldn't find it, understand?
And this man who will stand in the gap, what can he do spiritually speaking?
Well, it was like, you know, when David stood in the gap because King Saul was leading Israel astray. So David stood in the gap and God made him the king of Israel and he saved Israel.
In other words, through a righteous man, he could bring God's blessing upon the nation.
Exactly. Like Jesus trained the 12 disciples and they stood in the gap. And they were able to save God's kingdom, which by then it became Christian kingdom from Jewish kingdom. Understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Standing in the gap is like I'm standing in the gap, you are standing in the gap. Like we are standing in the gap because there are thousands of brethren, okay, in many countries who are tuned in with us, they want to know what to do. And we are standing in the gap, and
yes.
There are other Christians like us who are also standing in the gap. Thank God we're not alone. There are other Christians. Not many, but there are others. So standing in the gap means to go in a place, see what needs to be done, and do it. Jesus saw that when the need was a Calvary, climbed the Calvary. Paul saw the need was to give his life to Jesus until death. He did. Peter, the same. I want to do the same. You want to do the same. And everyone in the world who truly loves Jesus and is part of the bride of Christ will want to do the same. There are not many. You don't see many around. Today you just see a lot of Christians just want to sell DVD and CDs, how to get the Holy Spirit, how to speak in tongues, and you have to pay good money to get it, selling good books. They're not standing in the gap. It's like a feudal society, every church, every denomination trying to build a feud, like a little kingdom. Here I am in my little Protestant Catholic kingdom. And in the name of all to the glory of God, of course, I collect money, I make buildings, I have bank accounts, to God's glory, of course. my pockets are full with money, to God's glory, of course. I'm getting fat while the sheep are going to hell. We don't evangelize the lost, but that's predestination, who cares? Understand? They're not standing in the gap. Mm-hmm. In fact, they make the world, they make the unbelievers lose faith when they see such a hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not standing in the gap. We want to stand
Amen.
In the gap,
Lord,
but thank God
us.
We're not the only ones.
Amen.
Okay? So today, the Bride of Christ, which is very few, the Bride of Christ stands in the gap.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you,
the
Lord.
Bride of Christ gives all,
God help us.
Does all everything she can, and we want to be the part of the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
Well, the fruits will tell.
Amen. Thank you,
so
Lord.
That's the gap. Got it?
Yes, it's clear.
All right. So just like in Ezekiel 39:23, like God says that Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they were unfaithful unto me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave
Amen.
Them in the hands of their enemies. They fell by the sword. Exactly, repetition is going to happen to modern Israel, Christian Israel, who will fall by the sword of the Antichrist.
Amen. Yeah.
You understand? Yes. The tribulation is coming. The when all the false prophets will be either with the mark of the beast or either whatever, dead, then there's going to be a revival all over the world that the sheep are going to go look for God. A lot of sheep are going to take the mark of the beast because they feel betrayed by God. They're going to think, oh, God has been telling us until now through my false pastor, that it was okay to do nothing. There was going to be a rapture before the tribulation. Mm-hmm. There was no rapture. There was just the Antichrist. So God betrayed me. God forsook me. God deceived me. So there is a conspiracy of the prophets against the people of God.
See, basically, to hide the truth.
To hide the truth is like they don't know, because 2 Thessalonians 2 says God sent a strong delusion. The moment
so they don't know the truth.
They don't know, or they rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like they are joined, these pastors have joined with the devil to conspire against God and against his people. Usually they don't realize, no. They just deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they normally they don't realize. But
yeah, they are deceived to the point that even if somebody tells them the truth, they still reject it.
And it doesn't matter if you go with the Bible.
Yes, it happened
because
to us.
I know, because I've been in more than 100 churches doing this.
Yeah.
I went with the scripture, and they were like they were catching the breath, like, oh, this is all scripture.
I remember there was a pastor who told you everything you taught about rapture is biblical. I can see it in the Bible, but I still remain of my own opinion.
I don't change my mind. You see?
I mean, it was sad to hear.
I remember perfect that pastor. I mean, amazing how what a false prophet. See, everything you say that I was teaching about post-tribulation rapture, everything you said is scriptural. In fact, he couldn't answer.
No.
He could only answer with opinions. Nevertheless, I don't change my mind.
Yeah.
See, blind leaders are blind. That's
what's
happening.
Because it's convenient to believe such a lie. It's for your flesh. Great that you will be raptured before. So they choose basically the pleasure of their flesh.
Amen. The politics, people will vote for a politics that will give them money. The poor. Socialism, it's called. The rich will vote for a politics that helps them keep their money. It's called the conservatives.
Hmm.
And so in the church is the same. They will vote, quotes, they will go to a church where the sermons will tickle their ears. It's 2 Timothy 4:3. That's what it says, tickling their ears. Okay, I think that was a message. I hope it came clear.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be the man and the woman in the gap that God needs.
Amen. I would like to take a break for a song, and then I want to ask you something.